Guess what? It's Disco to Digital for Saturday, the whatever date it is. We have the very lovely Miss Donna.
Hi.
I'm Apparition, and we have the even more lovelier Mark Hawkery with us.
Oh, thank you. I think I've ever been called more lovelier before than anyone else.
I'm not taking offence to that at all. Maybe so, more talented.
Let's leave it at that. So, a couple of weeks ago, Miss Donna and I were at a gig in
Bynalong,
and there was a bunch of bands. One of them was the Mark Hawkery band that we finished up watching, and then I think we left afterwards because one of us
got sick. Yes,
got
I did.
Sick. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you went and purchased some of their music to listen to.
That's right. Again, let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, for some reason, I couldn't copy the music over that I had lined up today. So we don't have a copy of any of Mark's music with us. However, Mark might have a ukulele in his car.
That is correct. I do have a ukulele in my car. I can confirm that.
So. Okay. So do you think it will take any longer than 3 minutes and 47 seconds to go get that ukulele?
Ooh, I think I could do it in under two.
Okay. So... let's put that to the test and let's play the first song.
La nuit. I have never been a part of team.
we're back, and true to form, he actually, Mike Corkery actually went and got his ukulele, tuned it, and he has it in his... So there's some crazy things happening in the studio today. But luckily, Mike Wynn got his ukulele and he's going to... It is a ukulele.
It is a ukulele, indeed. It is.
So, do you want to explain what you're about to play for us?
Yeah, well, this is one of the songs off my EP that I released back this year, beginning of 2024, which was... just something I kind of recorded at home. It's a song that I call And So We Wait. It's actually a song I wrote probably 15 years ago, something like that. And it, yeah, I mean, most of my songs are fairly melancholy. This is one of them. But it's just what comes out. So I have no control over that. But I've never played it on the ukulele before, so we're going to see how we go.
All right. It's a first.
Yeah, it is the first.
Okay, exclusive. You heard it here.
That's right. Hopefully the mic picks up both my voice and the ukulele.
It's going to be great.
All right, so here it goes.
Mm-hmm. Not once but twice and I am falling. And it cuts right through, and the ashes are cast to sand. And I try to see beyond this place, but there's so much in the way. Slowly drift away. Where's the light? Sees my vision through. Takes these rattled bones and sees them.
Really cool.
Thank you.
So, a lot of your songs have got like emotional backing to them. Do you find it cathartic?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where, yeah, like I introduced that song by saying that a lot of my songs are fairly melancholy, and that is one of the things is that when I'm feeling melancholy, I tend to write music, and when I'm feeling happy, I tend to go and play with the kids or the dog or something like that. So I have different ways of kind of doing things when, depending on how I'm emotionally feeling at the time. And so that's why a lot of my songs end up coming out reflecting kind of melancholy and
sure.
Yeah, which is, but I absolutely find that cathartic. Even just playing that song just now, like I had no idea how that was going to go. But yeah. I mean, it felt nice, like it felt good. So. Interference?
Yeah, no interference, but not from you. It's okay. So, okay, we're going to play a game, Mark. Oh. This show, I don't know if you've ever heard us before. But this is an electro swing show.
Yes.
So we do electronic acid jazz. We do electronic blues.
Yeah.
We do 1920s and 30s style songs that have turned into dance music.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a song for you right now, and you have to tell us what category that gets into. Do you want me to go through them again one more time?
Either acid jazz.
Acid jazz.
Or electro swing, is that a category?
Electro swing is 1920s and 30s swing music. Yeah. So, you know, it can go up to 70s disco as well.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. Motown,
yep.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or electronic blues.
All right, okay.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Mark Corkery.
Oh, hello.
What style of music do you think that was?
I would definitely categorize that as electronic blues.
Yes, correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
We don't have any prizes.
Oh, man.
No, but
I'm out.
Just know that you got it right and walk away with that.
I feel good about myself.
It's just for the glory.
Yeah, that's it. I'm all about the glory.
So you're a folk musician.
Yeah.
You write folk music. Folk music has a long history of telling stories. I think that's where it originated. You might be able to tell me something different.
No.
Do you see your songs as telling a story? And if so, what compels you to share those stories?
Yeah, they're good questions. Yeah, folk music, I think one of the things that attracts people to folk music, and folk music and country music, I think both are really storytelling genres of music, and it's fairly fascinating listening to, sorry.
No, moving mic. That's okay.
Yeah. listening to great storytellers, and it's one of the things I find, often folk music has quite simple chord structures, so there's not a lot happening harmonically within the music,
sure.
But there's something about the story and the lyrics that kind of just draws you in and captivates you from beginning to end, and I think that is one of the things that kind of gets me in. If you look at a lot of kind of country musicians, and they'll use exactly the same chord progression for every song. You know, they know maybe three chords, it. And yet they tell so many stories that people listen to them for 50, 60 years. They're still kind of performing songs and still writing new songs using the same progressions and still telling more stories, and people are still listening to them. So I think there's something really captivating about folk music and the stories that it tells. And so I try to express that as well. I would like to be a better storyteller. A lot of my songs have a larger existential kind of meaning to them, and I want to be able to write and produce kind of more intimate stories. And so, that's what I'm aiming to get better at in my own songwriting.
Do you pull a lot of your song lyrics from things that have happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. As much as I can. I think that something doesn't really have a lot of meaning until it is personalized and internalized in some way. So most of my songs, particularly the ones that I like to perform and usually end up performing and recording, are definitely based on real experiences, so lived experiences. Yeah.
Unreal. Thanks for sharing. Here's a little Elvis.
Ooh.
Just to I don't know what for, because it's cool.
Like a
A little melody in the background there, which is fine.
Sorry.
Carry on. No, carry on. That was good. Funniest fan story on the spot.
Yeah, that... It's a bit of a hard question because I don't really have fans.
Anything funny happened to you at a gig?
Oh, look, I have had plenty of things happen at gigs because I did covers gigs for many years and only really got back into writing original music again recently. So for a good 15 years, I did cover gigs.
Okay.
And there's some of the most soul-destroying kind of gigs you can do sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've twice fallen off stage.
Oh.
Once I fell off the front of a stage. I used to always sit down to perform. And there's one day I was just like, no, I need to learn to stand up to perform. But I get a little bit kind of shaky in the legs when I do it. And so, stood up and then fell straight off the front of the stage. So that was the first time I did that. It took me a while to get back on my feet again. And then another time, fell off the back of the stage, split my pants wide open at a wedding. And that was pretty embarrassing. So I performed the rest of the ceremony with my pants split open. And then...
Did you have tails on or was it was it out there for everyone to see?
No, this was the 90s. This is the late 90s. I was wearing kind of like corduroy pants because they'd kind of come back in again. And this kind of weird funky shirt. And yeah, anyway, the corduroys were just probably a little bit too tight. Vinny's Purchase, you know how you kind of make it fit when you get stuff from Vinny's?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty embarrassing. And then another gig where I delayed a wedding because I had a teacup stuck on my pinky finger. So
did you have to break it in the end?
No, I had to just about break my pinky finger. But teacups have this tiny little handle.
Yeah, yeah.
No one can get their fingers in inside of them. And anyway, I was just drinking. And I have this nervous habit of just kind of fiddling with stuff. And somehow I got my pinky finger stuck inside the cup of the teacup just before I had to go on stage. And it had to delay the ceremony for a little while. So it wasn't the bride's fault, that wedding.
Wow. It came down to me. She angry?
No, she was
casual. Was she laughing?
No, yeah, she was definitely laughing. Most people were laughing. I was kind of the source of the butt of that, but yeah.
That'd be a good story though to tell later on.
Yeah.
One for the kids, yeah. Did you get it on video? Was there like a video camera guy?
No, thank goodness for that. No, there wasn't.
Late 90s, right? No one had a camera.
That's right, exactly.
Luckily.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do one more song and then we're going to come back and we're going to get you to do a song if that's okay, Mark.
Sweet, yeah.
So it looks like Mark's going to be doing a whole show for us. Somebody get him some water because the show goes for another hour and a half. So, Mark, you can tell us your deepest, darkest secrets or you can sing for us, but it's your choice, okay?
You can really get into the weeds this afternoon.
Never mind. Okay, so, Mark, play us a song, would you please?
All right, well, I will. I'm just kind of working out what I can actually play on the ukulele,
which will transfer,
okay.
Can I make it easy for you? It doesn't have to be one of yours. You can do a cover.
Ah, okay, all right. Well, I'll think of that. I'll see if I can come up with an electro swing.
Can we do requests?
Oh, no. This has turned into one of those pub gigs that I do at the nightmare.
We don't like the nightmare
show.
But I'll sing a song. This is the opening song off the EP from this year, which is called Let It Wash. And so this song, I'll go into it a little bit because we've got time, I guess.
We got all time. Yeah. You need.
We got nothing but time. So this is a song called Let It Wash, and it's kind of based on a lot of ancient religions in particular. Often the places where people would go in order to encounter the divine or to encounter, you know, the big transcendental things are on top of mountains. They'd always be on top of mountains.
Sure.
And so, and even now I think that if I think about kind of places where you go to make big decisions, I was talking to my daughter about this last night, like she's got big decisions to make, and I'm just like, well, you know, I actually told her to go to a cemetery. That was the other place I taught her to go to make decisions because, you know, nothing kind of puts things into perspective than the idea that one day we're not going to kick around anymore.
Sure, yeah, that's great. So,
but the other place, because we don't have a lot of mountains around here, is that you go to a mountain somewhere where you can actually see a long way and all of a sudden it makes you realize kind of how small you are, and your problems seem to just become a lot smaller kind of in the given perspective.
Yeah.
And so this is a song called Let It Wash, and then the problem is that we can't live on mountains usually, and so quite often it's this idea that you need to, once you kind of get that perspective and you find it, then it's the matter of then being able to actually hold on to it and recall it in other times when you're not necessarily on a mountain top kind of thing. So anyway, this is a song which is all about that. It's called Let It Wash. So I'll just move this mic, sorry.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That sounds very good.
As I look out from the summit of this mountain, endless fields of raging waters wild surround me. I am taken by the power that abounds here. Now let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. And I feel the rain begin to fall again, and it washes all the dirt from dusty skin. And I take in a deep breath and I begin to let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. Let it wash, let it wash, let it wash over me. When the heat inside my heart burns like a furnace, and when I fear it will consume me from within, there's a high place I recall to mind and turn it. I let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. Even if the sky gives up the stars, and every conspiracy conceived has come to pass, there's a mountain I'll return to the last day. I let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. Let it wash, let it wash, let it wash over me. As I stand upon this summit looking out, just a drop of water in an ocean boundless, so insignificant and yet I'm given a crown. And I just let that wash, let it wash, let it wash. I let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. I let it wash, let it wash, let it wash. I let it wash, let it wash, let it wash over me.
Well done. You should do this
professionally
in front of more people.
Thank you.
So I have a question for you that just sprung to mind.
Yeah.
You're a school teacher.
I am indeed.
At the Music Conservatorium in Young.
Yeah, I teach at the Young Con. Yeah.
That's right. So there's a sign out the front that says different, it says like inspirational things.
Oh, yeah.
So it has at the moment, the good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain.
Ooh, controversial.
Absolutely. And it's a very famous Bob Marley song. However, it's been what's the word I'm looking for, Miss
Donna?
Misquoted.
Yeah, right.
One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain.
Okay.
So hit me with music.
I think that I would almost... Now, this is probably pretty controversial, but ooh, I don't think
okay.
I don't think I'd agree with Bob anyway.
Really?
Mr. Marley. Well, I mean...
You don't want to be brutalized with music?
I think that... maybe it can do you no harm, but certainly it can cause you pain. But, like, yeah.
Wow. You know. I never thought of it like that. You're absolutely right. He's wrong.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
I'm going to have to rethink everything. A lot of my philosophies came from him. I'm very chill because of the music that I listen to.
Yeah.
From Bob Marley.
But I think it depends on what type of music you listen to.
Yeah, that's
it. As to whether or not it gives you pain or whether it gives you pleasure.
That's it.
That's true.
And pain's good, right? Like, yes. That's the thing that we have this idea that pain is all bad. And I think that that's just a Western idea.
True.
I think that not all pain is bad. Pain's actually a healthy thing.
There's a Maori saying, and I don't know it in Maori, but it basically loosely translates to if you switch off one emotion, you switch off all of them.
Yeah, right.
So they encourage you to push all your emotions as far as you can. How happy can you be? How sad can you be? How in love can you be?
Yeah, that's great.
Mm.
That's great. So wisdom.
Saying to lean into all those emotions.
Lean into it.
Yes, like you were saying. We go to new music festivals. Lean into the experience.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. If it's uncomfortable, lean into it.
Well, that's challenging.
It is, right? But I think if you can continue to do that as you get older, then that's lucky. That's a lucky thing that, you know, because a lot of people get into routines, things don't change. I mean, a lot of people like that as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to have another go at playing a song.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ooh, la, la, trouble so hard. Ooh, la, la, trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble for God. Don't nobody know my trouble for God.
Don't nobody know my trouble for God. Don't nobody.
I think we're back. I think this whole show is back on track. Back on track.
Woo!
Yes, thanks to the melody of Mark Corkery.
Music.
Yes.
It's magical healing. It's
power of live music.
That's right.
Quality live music, yeah.
Radio. Mark Corkery, can you please tell us about your creative process when writing a song? Do you start with lyrics, melody, or have a particular story in mind?
Yeah, I think there. So the way I write music these days has changed. So I used to basically always just try and come up with a chord progression or a melody I'd have in my head, and now I'd try and make that into a song. But I think if you look at my phone these days, it reflects I've probably got three ways of writing a song. So one is that I will either on my notes, I've got just a bunch of lyrical ideas, which will just have, and I've just got hundreds of them, where they're just like a verse or a chorus or something, a lyric that's kind of, that means something to me, and I've just kind of come up with, I've developed a little bit. But you'll also find on my phone another, my memos or the voice recordings that I have on iPhones, just a bunch of singing, rambling kind of words to some sort of chord progression and a melody, just kind of bibbity-bopping my way through, you know, over a chord progression kind of thing.
Like scatting or...?
Like, oh, no, I wouldn't call it scatting. I call it more like a murmuring. Like, oh,
That's how I sing a lot of songs.
Yeah. When you don't know the words.
I'm terrible at lyrics, remembering lyrics, so that's how I sing most of my songs. But, so that's the second way of... that I would think about, and just thinking about it now, is probably the third way would be that I'll like hear a quote or something and I'll just write, and it'll just inspire like just an idea, like a almost like a theme, or some sort of inspiration, the sparking point kind of thing.
Sure.
And I'll just have that down as just like, and it's not a lyrical idea or anything like that, it's just like this big idea that I want to write a song about, a story or something like that I've heard. And so any one of those can somehow then develop into a kind of full song. But they tend to start from completely different places. And so I don't think these days I've got one way of kind of writing a song. But if I can get a theme developed, and then I can somehow flesh that out and make it into a chorus. And if you can start with a chorus, then often that's your main hook of your song and the main idea of your song. And then the verses kind of tend to kind of grow out of that. But yeah, I struggle to go the other way and write. And I know people like Bon Iver, he'll start with just melodies and he'll just kind of ramble until he finds some lyrics that fit. And some of his songs, if you listen to his recordings, like you're kind of like, what the heck is he trying to say there? Mm. And it ends up meaning something kind of thing, but it's come out of just putting random words that, you know, fit into those spaces to fill them until it kind of eventually builds and means something.
Sure.
And that works. Things work totally. Everyone's different kind of thing, so everyone's going to have a different process.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no formula, and that's what I've found, is that I don't have a formula that kind of fits and works every time for me kind of thing. But yeah, and it's more organic like that. So
would it take a long time then for you to get a complete song?
Yeah, most of my songs take a long time to write, and I'm, you know, you hear stories about I think it was one of the Beatles songs where someone just asked them to, they needed a song kind of for something, and they walked upstairs, grabbed a guitar, and I think it was Paul McCartney wrote it in 15 minutes, and it was like one of their hit songs kind of thing. Mm. You hear people actually doing that, but I get inspired by people like the Finn brothers, who would take years to develop the craft of, like, to really kind of sculpt a song into what they want it to be finally kind of thing.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so that's kind of gives me some hope that, you know, the songs that take me a long time to write, you know, some of the songs that on this EP, literally, like that first one I sung this afternoon, that was actually, yeah, like 15 years ago I wrote that, and I only just kind of took enough of a final form this year that I was able to actually record it in its final state kind of thing. So
15 years.
Yeah, and I wasn't working on that, like, you know, every night during that time or anything like that, but, you know, it took time to definitely put that together.
Sure.
Mm.
Wow, okay.
I think it's a good thing that you have another job too.
If it was 15
years to get a song together, songs are on an album.
That's right. Well, yeah, and my EP is only 5 songs. Yeah. You know. So, yeah.
So is music a major part of your life?
Yeah.
Could you teach it? and you play it.
Yeah, you know, that's right. I'm teaching music all day, every day, and then I'm playing music most weekends in some form, often writing or recording or performing in various places. So, yeah, it's probably takes up a good chunk of my time wheel kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep,
definitely.
And a couple of your family members have followed you.
Yeah. My daughter Ailey is, she's going to be far greater than I ever will be kind of thing. She's only 17, but she's already writing amazing melodies and amazing kind of songs. So she's actually in a songwriting competition over in Bathurst that she's made it to the finals. She's there next weekend to perform over in Bathurst in front of people. So she's made it to the finals of a songwriting competition at 17,
yeah, wow.
Which is really nice, and performing against adults. And
that's fantastic.
So she's good. And all the kids played, like my other daughter, Aisha, she played the flute, and Willem played the trombone. they all play a bit of piano and can play a bit of guitar.
Tough instrument.
Pick up ukuleles. And, yeah, it's meaningful for everyone, I think.
Sure.
My wife, Michelle, plays a wicked kind of version of what's the Christmas carol that she plays in? And she's learning it in some really weird mode kind of thing.
I saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus.
I can't remember what it is. It's like Away in a Manger, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
She's accidentally put it into some kind of minor mode, so it sounds like this really dark version of Away in a Manger.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Cool. I like it.
Do you come from a musical background?
My mum has the voice of an angel, and kind of so grew up listening to her sing in church all the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she has this lovely kind of almost operatic kind of voice, which you always hear her sing. And Dad's one of the least musical people on the planet. Now, I know he is listening this afternoon, I think, so sorry, Dad, but I think he'd admit that. But, yeah, other than that, like, yeah, my parents are split kind of thing. Like, as far as one of them, Mum can really, really sing and Dad can't.
But, does he dance?
No.
Interpretive dance, maybe?
Does he try to dance? Because that's the important bit.
Does he karate dance?
No. Does he try to dance?
No.
Does he karate?
No.
What's a karate dance?
That's why I don't know. I was going to ask you.
Never mind. The important bit is if you try to dance. If you're the girl that you're with wants to get up and dance,
yeah.
You see a lot of guys go, oh, no, I can't do it. I'll mind your handbag. Will that do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that good enough to show you
how I feel? I'm that guy. No, it's not.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I am that guy, though. Like, I am so self-conscious that I just can't. I can't do it. I've really, really struggled to get on a dance floor in any circumstance.
Yeah, oh, I used to relate to that.
Yeah, get up and make a fool of yourself for her. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, look, I have done it. I have done it.
Yeah, good.
But on the rare occasion.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to get to the right person's DJing music, and then
do we know anyone that can get anybody up on the dance floor?
You can't not dance to electro swings, right?
Electro, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It crosses all genres. So you get the old people up, you get young people up, you get the people in between, the non-dancers.
Yes.
Blah blah. Let's hear a song. And again, I want you to guess what style it is.
Oh, okay.
honey, I spies. Honey, I spies.
Mike Corkery.
Hey.
What was, what style of music was that?
Oh, that was...
You weren't listening, were you?
Oh, look, it was definitely kind of like, I could hear some old school kind of clarinet, jazz kind of thing there.
Jazz?
So it was definitely, I would say acid jazz.
Acid jazz! Yes. Well, yeah. 2 for 2.
Hey. Hey. Yeah.
So, after all of that, we're only halfway through the show.
Hey, wow.
Right?
It's all good.
So, I'm all out of ideas. Anyone else know how we're going to fill this air? Anyway, hang on. Okay. I've got some questions for you. Miss Donna, have you got any questions for Mark?
I was wondering how you managed to find your band that you have together at the moment.
Can you talk to the microphone, please, Miss Donna?
I will.
Okay. Can you just ask that question again? Because it didn't show up on the board. Could be the equipment. I don't know. But okay. If you could just ask it.
So I was asking Mark how he managed to find his band members that he has at the moment.
Okay, well, a couple of them are in his house.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're...
Just lying around.
Doesn't mean they're mandated to join.
Yeah, so...
That's a good question, yeah, because it's not a usual kind of band story, I don't think. So three of them are